sacrifice to thee. Oh Lord, among the people I will sing praises to thee, among the nations. Steady before the Lord. We want to just take our offering, get the children to their rooms. Be seated, please. Brother Mike, if you'd just come and make the announcements you have to, then we'll get the children to their rooms and we'll go to worshiping the Lord. First of all, I wanted you to join in prayer with me for Terry Shenzel. She and Ty are at the hospital. They've had a little baby girl, but she had to go C-section, and the bleeding has not stopped for a considerable period of time in spite of treatment. So we'll agree together the Lord will touch her and stop the hemorrhaging. And they've called twice now, so it's not just some temporary thing. Why don't you join with me in prayer for them, and then we'll proceed from that. So will you join with me, please? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence. The presence of the Lord was there to heal. And we pray for Terry. We thank you at the birth of a child. And we agree together, Lord, wilt thou say, stop to hemorrhaging, Lord. Stop it, Lord. For the life is in the blood. And we would agree together, and by faith we corporately put our hands out and touch her. And we say, be healed, and be stopped, and be assuaged. Even as that woman came in touch, Lord, with an issue of blood. So we come to Terry. We lay hands on her corporately tonight. We lay hands on Ty. And we say, we stand with you. And we believe you, Father. Glorify your name. Stop it, Father. Make it to be nothing but a trickle, and that all will be well with them. We lift them up before you and thank you that we can be there in our spirits in that very room, and that your presence may communicate the life of the Son to these thy children. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll find your seats, please, first, before we continue. The Lord was pleased to move in his own way this morning. And there's no way you plan what God wants to do. You become available to what God wants to do. And I don't know what he wants to do tonight. I do know that we're here and available. I do know that if the Lord wants to keep the focus on where the focus was this morning, then we keep it there. And I picked some hymns that would keep our focus there. We're waiting on him. And so the Lord will direct us. I don't know how it was with the rest of you. I had my time with the Lord this afternoon and confessed my sins to him of pride and missions and staff and different things that he has brought to my attention. It was a staggering thing for me to see how God sees the church as compared to how I see the church. And I want to see it from his point of view. And it's wonderful the Lord cares enough about us to bring it to our attention. And that what has begun this morning will only continue in your hearts. God may speak very forthrightly to us, and each one has to decide how he answers back and what he does with the Lord. I don't know how many the Lord has to have in this church to really want to follow him, for him to continue his work with us. I'm not going to worry about that number. I'm just going to worry about one person, that's Elmer Murdoch, and seek the Lord. And I know that, I'm sure that your presence here tonight is some indication of your desire to go on with God. It's an amazing thing how each of us are a cell in the living body. And as each of us seek the Lord, that God will speak back to the body. I don't know what God will do next Sunday. I don't know. I don't worry about it. I want to just seek his face from day to day and be prepared to serve and live for him in just our regular ministry, just you, as you do in your regular living, day by day. But we're alert. We put away all known sin. We seek his face, not just not walk in sin, but seek his face. And say, Lord, speak in any way you want to us, especially as we meet corporately. But as each of our lives is squared away with the Lord, this gives, we prepare a way for the Lord. We make a place for him. And the high places come down. Our pride comes down. And the low places, the valley of dejection and rejection and despair come up. And we repent and we have a smooth way for the Lord. He might dwell among us and be our God. And so as we worship the Lord, and as we sing together, we'll just wait on him. And we have the communion supper here. And we'll partake of it as the Lord leads. I've done my confessing in my heart and to the Lord, and I don't want to move to confession and testimonies unless the Lord does, because if you move to that too soon, you take the pressure off where he wants another place. You've got to stay right with his focus until there is a time for rejoicing and testimonies and confessions as God may lead. But if you move off that too fast, you'll grieve the Spirit. Stay where his focus is, and as he moves us through, we'll follow what he was. The Holy Spirit is a person. And as a person, he has moods. He is not moody. He has moods. And you go with what he wants. You stay with us 2 weeks or 2 days or 2 hours. You stay with what he wants. And then as he moves on, he'll take us to whatever's next for us. So we're here, and I pray that the Lord will... I don't want any children in this room that's going to make noise. Bless your little heart. Not tonight. No way. We love the children, but we have a nursery. I don't want any prattling children. None. We love them, but you know how I feel about it. All right, thank you so much. Now, for us, you see, backsliding for us, it might be far less than some other place, because he's brought us along so much truth. For us to come back would disturb him. And we're not going to just a fundamentalist church that preaches John 3:16, that's all they get. He's moved us too far along, so we go back. He says, I don't like that. I love you too much for that. So he wants us moving ahead. And so as we keep in touch with his focus, he will show us a time of rejoicing, time of mourning, time of whatever we need to do. It's a wonderful thing. I pray this afternoon, Lord, humble us lower than I think we ought to go, because in that way we'll cover all the bases. Don't take me down as low as you think I think. Take us below what we feel, because then he can entrust us with something. Now hear me. There are many blessings that God wants to give that he cannot give without prayer and humility, and for this reason, that if he gave them to us without heart preparation, the blessing would be harmful to us. That when we humble ourselves and pray, we can be trusted with certain blessings you could not be trusted with unless you do it, because the heart preparation, the humbling and the praying brings to us the realization and the certainty that we have not done this by our own power. But if he gives us certain blessings ahead of time, we'll rest in our own strength. And we'll think that somehow we have won this from God and we're worthy of something. But if we humble ourselves, then we can be trusted. If we pray on it and open our hearts, we know that what he gives will not damage us. It will not do us harm in our spirits. It will not cause pride. It will cause purity and gratitude and joy. But we will not be damaged by his blessing. It will not lead us to a big head. It will lead us to a grateful, quiet walk with the Lord. Amen? Do you see that? So he has to lead us in this path to prepare us for any further blessing so that we could be entrusted with it. And if we don't do the preparation work, then we cannot be entrusted with it. Regardless of what he gives, his own presence is a sufficient blessing. But anything along that line has to follow prepared hearts. Then it does us no damage, and it blesses us without conceit or pride, and makes us vessels fit to share that gospel and his good news, whatever it may be. I think we'll sing that opening chorus. You remain seated. That opening chorus we start with again, Mark. And I've got a couple of hymns here that I think are fitting as we just wait on the precious, precious presence of Jesus. If God points out something wrong, folks, if he points out something wrong, there are degrees of repentance. There's degrees of sensitivity. We're not here to browbeat. We're not here to put condemnation trips on you. We open ourselves up to him. But it's just, we say, Lord, we invite you to investigate. We invite you to come out, focus on thee, not introspectively, but on him. And then we'll see the mercies of God as we sing it again. Take number 71. You may not be familiar with it. I'm going to ask Jim if he'll play it for us. Once, depth of mercy. Can there be mercy yet reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners spare? And that wonderful answer is yes. I'm going to ask Jim to play it through once so you'll be familiar with it. Some of you may not know it. I'm going to ask if the Jim and Cindy will play it through together, please, and then we'll have it in our hearts and mind. Look at the words, and then we'll sing it together. Let me sing just the first stanza for you and with you and in heart. I'll sing it, then you sing the rest together.
Depth of mercy, can there be mercy still reserved for me? Can my God his wrath forbear, me the chief of sinners bear?
Together.
I have long withstood his grace, long provoked him to his face, would not hearken to his call, grieved him by a thousand fold. incline me to repent. Let me now my fall lament.
Nature, number 57, search me, O God. Number 57. Would you play that through just together once and be familiar with the tune?
Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be some wicked way.
266, breathe on me, breath of God, 266. Play it through once, folks, for us, yes. I take pleasure in worshiping thee, Brother Mark. We take pleasure in worshiping the Lord. We come and bow down at thy feet, dear Lord. Precious, precious place to be. We'll sing this through about three times, so we just go on from grace to glory here. I will come and bow down. Share with you that at this point there should be the gentleness of the Lord in approaching you about any unconfessed or unforsaken sin. This morning the Lord spoke in words
loud and clear, with great forthrightness. And tonight he beseeches you by the gentleness of the Lord Jesus. He would entreat us in condescension and kindness. And I entreat you in Christ's stead. If there's anything that you haven't really faced the Lord on, if there's been something you've been afraid to face the Lord on, if there's been something you've kept back from the Lord, perhaps not in the violent, stiff-necked rebellion that we may think of, but rather in just the trying to edge our way around the Lord. But his entreatment to you tonight is one of gentleness. And if there's anything God is dealing with you on and you haven't made it right, may I say that before we go to the Lord's table, will you not come to the gentleness of Christ and come to his kindness and receive cleansing? I don't care what the transgression. You may have told yourself it's too big or too deep or too bad. And every valley shall be exalted. And it isn't too big or too great or too old or too long or too deep. I entreat you by the gentleness of Jesus that before we proceed any longer, we would cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord, that we may come into his presence, washed and cleansed, up to date with his grace, prepared to receive his mercies. And Brother Jim, if you just play here, and those that wish to come and wait on the Lord together, just come and make it right. If you need help, fine, but I think most of you just need to come and make it right. And you know, when God begins a work, we think we got it all done until he shows us something else. And I am not bent on being introspective. I'm not bent on turning people back on guilt trips. By the same token, I open myself anew to the Lord, knowing that all that he does is to lead me into the fullness of his life. And let the Lord talk to you, not Pastor Murdoch. Just look to his face. In thy light, Lord, we see light. Don't you be the Holy Ghost. Look toward him and say, Lord, you're welcome to investigate. I welcome you, and truly, the blood cleanses. The Lord is building in a foundation. I don't want to interrupt your flow of your worship, but he's building in a foundation of contrite hearts. That as we wait on the Lord for cleanliness and healing, forgiveness, a foundation of righteousness is being built into you and into the church. That we'll have no truck with sin. Not in a superiority way or false piety, but simple New Testament righteousness. And for whatever God does as he goes on, it must have this for a foundation. This foundation will increase as we go. But he who's to be in this move of God will find himself instantly dealing with sin, keeping very short accounts with the Lord and with each other, with father and mother and husband and wife, children, employer. For as we come back together, each time we meet, this must be our foundation, the Lord, our righteousness, not just imputed to us, but imparted to us. We don't have to rush. When you're laying the foundations, you don't rush. You better not rush. Welcoming the presence of Christ, dealing with anything he shows us. Not in dreary introspection, but in obedience and waiting on him. Again, let me stress, this is foundational righteousness, not that we're earning anything, but rather receiving it. That foundational righteousness will be that I'm right toward God and right toward all the people I know, horizontal and vertical, prepared to humble myself, ask forgiveness, make things right, a willing heart. The knots don't always come out in one moment, but the willingness is there, and God will help us to work on through with a right relationship and with a right attitude. Any snarls and snags we run into, if there first be a willing heart, this is acceptable with God. And when each of us takes the next step that God wants each of us to do, there will be the expression and manifestation of Christ's life at that point. There will be the infilling of the Spirit of God in a church, in a person, in basic righteousness, which is if you obey me, then I will pour out my Spirit. It's dealing with God's children, not unbelievers. They will undoubtedly be affected. But the focus is on the children blood-bought of God. That we who are his inheritance may live like it by his indwelling life. And that as you make things right with God and man, then when we gather together, the obedience of your soul releases the life of Christ and the Spirit's work through you and corporately on the congregation, pressing on those who rebel and pressing on those who resist, that they too may be broken down in mercy. And so we bless him. And that's why no man lives to himself and no man dies to himself as members in the same body. We're going to sing one chorus before we come to the Lord's Supper. Behold the Lamb will be the one we sing. Behold the Lamb, Brother Mark, and we'll sing together as we prepare our hearts. Let a man examine himself, and then let him partake of the Lord's Supper. Not in gloomy introspection, but in honesty before the Lord. And we can come to that joy tonight.
Behold the Lamb, be
may be seated, please.
Our Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he gave thanks, he blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples, said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you." And after this, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink this, do this in remembrance of me until I come."
the gathering unity, in the unity of righteousness, in the unity of forsaking sin, in the desire and willingness to mend all relationships and to humble ourselves before the Lord and man. Is this not the sacrifice that he offers? Not simply the fruit of our lips, but the fruit of a broken and a contrite spirit, that he may dwell with us and we with him. For this is the beginning of beginnings, and I will do a new work in you as you heed my voice, and I will work in you as you permit me to. As your priorities allow me to be first, then I'll be first in your life. And I'll be first to bless and to give. For you'll be trusted with the treasures of heaven as you keep me first. Give attention to your relationship to me, for it cannot be casual. If you're casual with me, I'll be casual with you. How can I deliver to you the secrets of the kingdom if you're hither and yon and all about, and take no time to be still before me, that I may speak into you the secrets of my heart? Behold, do you convey to a friend something precious and deep and profound while you're running down some track, hastening through some store? Or do you not take time in some quiet and restful place to share your heart in such a fashion? And so it is with me. I cannot force my way into your busy schedule and somehow explain truth and myself to you while you run. But rather you must seek that quiet place. It need not be long, for your time may be pressed. But you must develop in your lives a sense of centering down on me. And to the degree that you do in the quietness of your soul, I shall give to you the treasures of the kingdom, the beauties of your Savior, and the godliness of myself. In this fashion you shall be adorned with the grace of Christ. And in this manner the Spirit of God will have freedom among you. And there will come a time when you will shout for joy. But this is a time of mending, a time of meeting, a time of mercy, a time of mellowing, a time of preparing. I will not rush this process, and I don't want you to. I will not hasten to make this a fast work, but I shall move with divine leisure through your lives. And I will touch a point here and a point there, and I shall say thus and thus here and thus there. And do not quiver when I touch certain points in your life. And do not draw yourself back from me, because I will not fight you, and I will not wrestle with you, and I will not hassle you. I will say, I've come to bless and direct your life. And if you pull back from me, I'll let you pull back. For I want a willing people, and I wish a people who will love me for myself. I will not scorn you. I will not deride you. I will not make you an object of mirth and mockery. I will love you. But I can come only as you let me come, and I can do only as you allow me to do. Is this not the way with human surgery? Is this not the way with a human doctor? Is he not permitted to do only what you permit him to do? How then do you think I can perform in your life the surgery of the Spirit? I will let you tell me what I can do. Does that sound strange? Does that sound different from an almighty God? I tell you, I gave you the gift of free will and made you in my image. And consequently, I have ordained that this is how I should work. I could have chosen differently. I could have made you a robot. I could have made you someone coercive in all that I do, or coerced. But I have not chosen to do that, for I have said rather, seek my face. Seek the Lord while he may be found. I will not always walk like this in your midst, unless you want me to. And if you found in me the treasure of heaven, then I'll be in you the treasure on earth. And in this fashion you shall know God, and he shall become your everlasting treasure. As we come to the bread of life, Let a man examine himself and then let him partake. Let none of God's true lambs be condemned because they feel I'm not good enough, for none of us are. Let God's sheep understand that the blood of Christ is our worthiness, and therefore enter with humble joy and openness. But let none come to eat the bread and drink the cup with known sin held back. Let none come to the cup of the bread resisting God at any known given point. For if you do, you will drink judgment to yourself. You will drink chastening to yourself. And the Lord would not have this to be done. For this reason, many are weakly among you, Scripture says. But if you, having therefore these promises, cleanse yourself from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, you shall indeed perfect holiness in the sight of the Lord, and be the charm of his soul and the delight of his life. So let none be downtrodden and self-condemned, where their heart is open to do his will. But let none seek to press in through the gate who would force himself to assume the blessings of God with a known resistance to what is next in his life. And God's people agreed to the covenant and said, Amen, amen. So be it unto us. This is my body given for you. Eat it for health of soul and body as you partake of the Lord, of which this is a symbol. That which is in your heart and is not spoken is not wasted. That which is in your heart and not spoken aloud tonight is not wasted. Yea, rather you are to store it on the shelves of your heart for the communion you'll have with me, and for the divine enablement and even empowerment that will accumulate in your lives. For the power of the Spirit of the Lord is not always external. Yea, rather many times it's the keeping like Mary of old of all these things in your heart and treasuring them. There may be a day when you will take of the treasures of your heart and share. There will come a time when this will be feasible. But this is a time of storing. This is a time of treasuring in your heart the meditations with the Lord that you're having. It's a time of righteous meditation. For the people run to and fro in the churches. Yea, even in this church there's much activity. And though I'm not against it, I'm against the fact if you have activity without meditation. And you'll become burned out and run out. And you'll find yourself without divine purpose in your activity. Consequently, it's needful and necessary that we have times of stillness that he may be to us what he wants to be. That we may before him stand or sit and wait, not in indifference, and not with an empty mind, but rather we shall fulfill the words of Scripture that says, Be still and know that I am the Lord. And in that stillness and in that quietness, we shall possess our souls. And more than that, we shall possess what Christ puts into our souls. And so you shall form treasures in your life because of these times together. You shall not squander them, nor waste them, nor spread them about. Yea, rather it's proper that you should keep them in your heart and put these beads on the string of your meditation and keep them for your adornment, for the inner life that you have with the Lord. Do not speak out and blab the secrets that God shows you. Keep secrets for the bride and the bridegroom. Nourish your life with him, that when that time of sharing comes, it will be more precious, more mellowed, more applicable. Some things you'll keep for yourself forever, for the bridegroom will so instruct. Other things shall be for the goodness of the church and the building up in faith. Some things shall be for reproof and correction. Others shall be for the healing of the nations and the healing of bodies here. And so store up by meditation on him and his word, those good things that will adorn this church. For the Lord has slowed us down and caused us to ponder our ways and his ways among us. And so thereby we shall be only enriched. For he who is enriched of the Lord is surely enriched. He that is enriched by the world finds himself with a hand of sawdust, filled with nothing but passing crumbs. But he who receives the bread of the Lord evermore hath everlasting life. Brothers. The cup of the Lord is full, for the Lord never deals in half cups. Either a man may have him to the extent that he wishes and be full, or may have nothing of him. He may declare his lordship, or he may declare his own lordship and go his way. The cup of the Lord is full and brings no sorrow. A man must decide of whose cup he will drink. He may drink of the world's drugged wine. It'll shimmer and be maroon and red and seem enticing. And afterward, it will bite with the sting of death and with the pain of an adder. But the cup of the Lord is full. It brings no sorrow, but rather it produces the fruitful works of righteousness. And a man is blessed in his walk. Therefore drink of the cup of the Lord. Believe and keep on believing on in him. And this day many of you have stored in your heart treasures of your own walk with the Lord. Many of you will receive during this week thoughts precious for you from the Father. Bring them in your hearts. Keep them there. And as you gather from week to week, they shall be food for your soul and strength for your life. Jesus said, when you come, take this cup, which is the cup of the new covenant, the agreement whereby we may each one come into the presence of the Lord, and the agreement by which the presence of the Lord has come into each one of us, and that the presence of the Savior is the presence of the mediator and the administrator of the new covenant. For behold, he's not someone distant, who by mail or phone tells us what will be done next, but rather he's the indwelling Savior who is the mediator of the better covenant. No longer the external God who dwelt above the tent, but the internal Christ who by his Spirit lives inside of each child. Be therefore not lonely, nor unhelped, nor unilluminated, for he lives within you to be your portion and himself. Drink ye all. Israel has heard the word of the Lord, and the people of God have received revelations of himself. Therefore, go back to your tents, O Israel, and into your homes, O people of God. For the righteousness that God gives and the empowerment of the Spirit is not certainly for just the tabernacle, the sanctuary of the house of God, but it is for every day. It is for our family life with children and dishes and phone calls. It is for the time we drive our car on the turnpike or the interstate. It is for the time we labor at our desk or computer. It is for the very practical of the pressure and push of this time and this work in this week. Be assured that I observe you in your work as surely as I observe you here. And you are a delight to me and a fragrance of me where you work. Understand that this is not distant from me, that I am as though I were here now and on Sundays and not with you in the workforce and workplace and school. But understand that I'm as much there as here, and therefore you may draw upon me and find little times to bless me in your heart. Find those times where you can get a few minutes with me, even in your workforce day, and commune with me. Understand also the day will come when it'll be very real with you to commune with God while you're at work and during it. For the consciousness of myself will increase in you, and you shall be aware of his pleasure with you and his delight in you, and that he may join us in a new way and visit us in his own power. These are good days, but if we walk in humility and walk in a learning and walk with a sensitivity, they shall open for us a whole new vista for this church. Whether they will or whether they will be seen by our walk. I tell you, all the fruits of Canaan have not been eaten, and all the pleasures of his life have not been experienced. But he would deign to invite us to them. And therefore, people of God, know that your path is a rich one if you follow on to know the Lord. And God's people said, amen. As we close our meeting, there may be those who desire prayer for body, soul, or spirit. And I would add one thing to that. There may be that there are those, if you have children, please honor the nursery workers and get your children first before your fellowship. Thank you so much. There may be those who have a few minutes or longer who would feel free and desires that you would want to gather in small groups at the front here. And that we should ask the Lord for an outpouring of his Spirit. I don't know how else to say it. The Spirit has given an answer to prayer. Originally and initially when we're saved, and again when we're filled with the Spirit. And that we beseech the Lord that he in all mercy and kindness should find in us and work in us in such a way that he'll be pleased to give us his own outpouring. That we're prepared to make any adjustments that he would show us in our lives, but that he, with all mercy, loves to be beseeched, that it may please the Lord to manifest and pour out his Spirit here. For the Spirit has given an answer to prayer and obedience. And as we seek his face, he knows our hearts, that he may be delighted to exalt his Son by his own outpouring, and that we might be a body formed and forming for the indwelling of his own life corporately as a church and individually, if that's where you are. Shall we stand? Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Grant us, Lord, safety in our travels, obedience in our hearts, and a personal looking to thee and spending time with thee every day this week till we meet again, Lord. Not that we're going to earn something, not that we're going to get some points this week. Thou art worthy. And Lord, we have determined that you are so wonderful and so worthy that we will present our bodies anew, living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our spiritual mental worship. And be not conformed or squeezed in this world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God and the Spirit's work, that we may prove and put to the test God's good, acceptable, and fulfilling will of God. God's people said, amen. Those who wish may come. God.